You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Welcome back for another instalment of Raymond's Weekly. Yes, we're back. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined as ever by Josh Tindall. Josh, other than being extremely in high temperatures, shall we say, in here in the studio today, how are you?
I'm very good. It is hot in here, isn't it?
It's boiling. I can honestly, I've just taken my blazer off. I've got a short-sleeved shirt on today and I'm still boiling hot. We need some kind of cooling system
in
here.
It's like being in the port cabin.
It is like, it's like a throwback to the days of the porter cabin. That porter cabin made us what we are today.
True.
That porter cabin needs to get more credit. But anyway, that's a story for another day. If you're tuning in and you've missed last week's podcast, don't listen to this. Go back and listen to last week's. I know it's a bit longer than normal. I know it will take up a little bit more of your time, but it's well worth it, I think. And I didn't get any abuse this week on Tuesday. I got three or four people, which is a new record for Ravens Weekly, coming over and saying how much they enjoyed it, and had another one today, which is really lovely.
Brilliant.
Thank you to everyone for your, on a genuine level, being totally serious now. Thank you all so much for your support of this podcast. Obviously, we have been back on a weekly basis for some weeks now, and it is our highlight of the week. I think I can speak for you there, Josh, as well.
That and 3 p.m. on the Saturday.
Yes, that and the feeling you get when the game kicks off, or for me, the feeling you get when the teams walk out. But
that's how I feel when you go, "Hello, everyone, and welcome back."
I just saw you were sat there, and you just had the biggest grin when I said
I
that.
I did, yeah.
I think you actually might have burst into a laugh because you're just thinking, right now we're onto onto a winner.
Everything's perfect again with the world.
We're onto a winner. But yeah, if you haven't listened to last week's podcast yet, do go back and give it a listen. It features an exclusive interview with Bromley FC supporting legend, as well as Roy Oliver, I must add, another supporting legend, Barry Evans, 77 years of support for Bromley Football Club, and he's just moved down this week to Cornwall. So Barry, we hope you're settling in nicely, and we hope you could have tuned in to the commentary for Tuesday's game as we got that point at home to Wildstone. All the best, Barry, and I'm sure we'll see you again very soon, and hopefully you're listening to this podcast. Now, let's start today with a shout-out for the under-21s who beat Hartley Whitney. Got memories of playing there with the... or memories of the first team playing there a few years ago. Was it the FA Trophy? I think it might have been the FA Trophy. And an interesting evening that was. A narrow win for Bromley on the day. But anyway, Khan Kevzer, Dylan Cave and Finn Roberts were the scorers, and all of those featuring in pre-season fixtures in and around the first team. So congratulations to
Finn
all of those.
Finn scored at Dulwich, didn't he?
Yes, Finn Roberts was the scorer of the equalising goal away to Dulwich in the Glenbeverley Memorial Cup. It was like deja vu with what happened a few years previously. Ben Crowhouse getting the late equaliser and Bromley winning on penalties. And what a proud night that was for majority under-18s and under-21s players. And talking of under-21s, we're going to hear from manager and head of coaching at the Academy, Jamel, later on in this podcast. And that is an interview you will want to hear, especially with all the young talent coming through the ranks into the first team at the moment. Ben Crowhouse, Sol Cader, the list just goes on. And don't think that that's the end of it, because it really isn't. There's going to be more coming through that train as well. Talking of young players, Josh, we've got a few out on loan at the moment.
We do, yeah. At the end of last week, I think the first one was George Alexander, wasn't it? He's gone back to Slough. He did well there. Scored a hat-trick, didn't he?
He did. Slough. He actually scored, yeah. I think he scored four against Slough for Welling, which is when...
He scored a hat-trick. Yeah, he scored a hat-trick for Slough and against Slough.
Yeah.
And ironically, when I announced the departure, I was actually in Slough.
You were in Slough.
Unrelated football matters.
This is media officer dedication and respect to the announcement taken to a new level.
I just thought I needed to be there.
Josh, you've gone out of your way to give that announcement its originality, and no one, Not a soul would have known that until you mentioned it.
I know. Exactly.
But I think that is media officer respect.
Definitely not on my way home, and it was just a coincidence that
You detoured massively there. Yeah. You had to take another five trains to get
back. I sent you proof, didn't I?
You did.
It was like,
you did.
It was 7:30. I said, look where I am.
Well, I didn't believe you, so when you told me, I demanded proof, and you provided it.
So the ground's nice.
Yes.
Arbor Park, so hopefully
George can bang in a few goals there, because he went on loan, as we were talking about, to Welling United and Slough Town at the back end of last season and scored 10 goals in the National League South between those two clubs in 17 appearances, which is a very, very good return. And we wish George all the best and look forward to seeing how he gets on and hopefully seeing him back in a Bromley shirt, banging in the goals later this season. Another one, Josh, Marcus Sablé.
Yeah, Marcus is, he's gone out 28 days, I think it is, Matt. So he's gone out on loan to Chesant.
Chesant in the Isthmian League. They were relegated from the National League South at the back end of last year, but they did have, as assistant manager, former Bromley FC player, Hugo Adoji.
Really?
Who is Callum Reynolds' best friend.
Oh,
see, we're just making connections. We're just making links right here. You know, just let us do our thing.
Yeah.
You know?
The links are linking.
The links are linking. The music is pumping.
We need to stop recording this after 5 o'clock.
We definitely need to start recording this earlier, because by this point we've both gone mental.
We have, yeah.
Because we love football so much and we love this place so much. But we've been so busy, haven't we? And it's busy in a good way. Yeah. But it does make you go a bit loopy come the end of the day. But it's all good. It's all good.
Yes.
We move. And the other one was Rashid Kamara, who is a first-year pro, just signed his first ever professional contract with the first team, featuring in the under-21s as well. You will have seen him in various pre-season games as well. He has gone on loan for a month to AFC Croydon Athletic, who, of course, many of you will know, but they've come into the news recently after being taken over by Wilfred Zaha and Stormzy and a couple of others as well. And Danny Young and Mark Hammond discussed a potential partnership and loaning players out, and Rashid Kamara is the first of those. So we wish Rashid all the very best, and all the very best to AFC Croydon Athletic as well. And we look forward to seeing these players continue to develop. We'll come on to loan spells later in our interview with Jamel and just how pivotal they can be in the development of this young talent that we're seeing come through the Bromley production line, if you like. Now, Josh, moving on to the first home game of the season. Of course, it wasn't just the first home game. It was in front of the cameras.
It was, yeah. TNT Sports were down. They obviously came in pre-season, didn't they, for our friendly against Dartford. So if anyone saw cameras at that one, we're not making a documentary. It was TNT Yet. Sports practicing for their game. So there isn't yet a welcome to Bromley or welcome to the Relocatum Community Stadium.
One day.
But one day, hopefully.
One day.
But yeah, so they were practicing for the game against Barnet. So yeah, and it was... I mean, the result wasn't great, but
well,
I think
that's about enough
good
on that
to...
one, Josh, I think.
But no, it was good to be, you know, back at home, and
it was nice. Unfortunately, you know, it was a disappointing afternoon in terms of the football. Couple of mistakes, unfortunately, for the goals, and it happens in football. Possibly the first goal, handball, probably should have been disallowed, and the second goal, just an error, unfortunately. Disappointing, and Andy Woodman was frustrated with the sloppiness of the goals. A couple of things didn't go our way in the game. Injuries certainly weren't on our side either, in terms of the amount of players out and not available to feature in that game. And it's a disappointing way to start the home campaign, but you can't dwell on it, can you, Josh? You've just got to pick yourself up and go again.
Especially with where Barnet finished last season, it's like, yeah, it is what it is at the end of the day. I think if we were playing Barnet at the start of the season or January, February time at home, I still think they probably would have beaten us. They're still a good team, and obviously
it's difficult, because I felt when we went to the Hive in April of last season, we dominated from start to finish and we should have won that game. And the one reason we didn't was Laurie Walker, the goalkeeper, pulling off several top class saves towards the end, particularly when Michael Cheek and Jude Arthurs went really, really close on that very hot day when I got sunburnt in the press box because there's absolutely no cover from the sun at Barnet and I forgot my sunglasses. just yeah.
I think frustrating. What I'm trying to explain is the fact that it is Barnet, ex Football League team. They're obviously pushing for promotion just like they were last season. I think there's obviously teams in our league that would cause more of an upset if we'd have lost on our first home game. But Barnet is just one of those.
Talking of the positives, and we are obviously frustrated at the players that have been injured from pre-season, players that have picked up injuries in those first couple of games. But it was great to see Josh Grant Smith back between the sticks and talking of that game and the Wealdstone game, which we'll come on to in a minute. He's pulled off some very good saves across them both.
Yeah, I mean, it's no real surprise with the goalkeepers that Andy's brought in the past couple of years. And I know we've spoken about Cookie and Ellery and that before, but yeah, I think you need those saves. And obviously we'll come on to it with when we talk about the Wealdstone game, but there was that save right at the end of that one as well that, you know, kept us in it. But yeah, he's a good goalkeeper, and obviously he was labelled in the summer as one of the best in the league last season.
I can see why. Yeah. And we've seen him. Obviously, you know, you've watched him in a Lincoln shirt, and we've seen him play against Bromley in the National League for various different clubs over the years, and he's always been one that's really impressed me. He was close to joining Bromley when he was at Lincoln on loan back a few years ago, and that didn't happen. But he's here at Hayes Lane now. And I tell you what, not just a great goalkeeper, but a great person.
Yeah. I mean, they all are, aren't they? So, and that makes a difference. And obviously,
we will get him on here soon.
We will, yeah. But he's, I think they all are. And they have been ever since, you know, Andy's taken over. And he's, you know, you pick the players up based on ability, but also they've got to be good in the changing rooms. And, you know, all the lads that have come in this summer have shown that as well.
Absolutely, I think you're right there. And we'll talk more about other players returning when we cover the Wealdstone game, but there's been a little bit of positive movement there as well. But now we come on to two very special shout-outs to two former players and two former young players who have made their debuts for Championship clubs this week. Kellen Fisher starting against QPR in the EFL Cup, and he started, he got a man of the match award as well, a man of the match performance, as well as getting an assist with a beautiful cross in the 99th minute, I think, for a Jonathan Rowe header, which gave Norwich City the victory in the very final moments on that night. And what a moment for Kellen. I know that Ben Crowhouse, Marcus Sablier and a few others went to watch and support Kellen as well. But it's great to see Josh, isn't it? And actually the outpouring of support from the Bromley fan base as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're not surprised that it's only taken him, you know, a game to sort of grab those headlines. I think did he get man of the match as well?
Yeah, he got the highest rating, yeah.
But yeah, I'm not surprised. I don't think anyone else is. I think he's going to go far, and we can all see that, and we saw that last season as well. So yeah, really, really happy for him.
And we move on then to Ollie Tanner, who of course was another academy graduate who made the move to Lewis when he left Bromley and was then signed by Cardiff City. And he's been there for a year or so now, and he's finally made his Championship debut. What an incredible moment for him. Another brilliant moment from the Bromley FC Academy and the talent that has been produced there. And Ollie, another fantastic lad, and sincere congratulations to him making his debut in the Championship. Really, really well done. It's great to see. And we just seem to keep, churning out's the wrong phrase, but we just seem to keep having this talent come through. You know, you look back, Liam Vincent, Ollie Tanner, like we've been saying, to the more recent ones, Kellen Fisher, Ben Crowhouse, Sol Kader. We'll talk more about them later, but such a great structure in the studio. I'm going to say next door because that's where the academy is. It's brilliant to see, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Andy's mentioned before, it's not just, you know, the academy lads that we're bringing through, it's also those young lads that we're taking on loan, like Deji obviously last season, and it's the focus around the young players and their development is key to their success, key to our success. And yeah, no, it's been really good.
Fantastic. And let's move on then now to back to Bromley first team matters, Back on to fixtures, of course. The most recent fixture at home to Wealdstone at the Relocatum Community Stadium. And it finished 1-1. Wealdstone taking an early lead through Tavon Campbell on 4 minutes. Sol Kader, of all players, equalising for the Ravens on 70 minutes. It finished 1-1. It could have gone either way, to be honest with you, in that second half, particularly after Bromley equalised. They were on the ascendancy. Wealdstone still very dangerous on the break and forced a good couple of saves from Grant Smith. But Josh, I think overall, everyone's in agreement that the more positive signs were there, especially in that second half. And what a special moment for Academy graduate Sol Kader to score on his first competitive start for the first team.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for Sol. And I think, obviously, last season, the season before, he's been firing them in for the 23s. And I think a lot of people will probably be calling on him last season. But as Andy mentioned before, it's sort of last season would have been a bit too early for him. And I think having that patience, I know Sol's been knocking on the door and wanting that first team call up, but you know, the patience has paid off, because if this was last season, would he have scored on a senior debut? Probably not. So the timing of it is probably key to how quick he settled in on Tuesday night.
Brilliant. And he didn't look out of place either, did he? It's not just about the goal, remember. It's about the performance, a man of the match performance as well. It was written for him.
Yeah, and I think it shows as well, and no disrespect to George Alexander, but it must fill Sol with confidence knowing that George has been sent out on loan and Sol's been given a nod on Tuesday night. And, you know, that probably shows how much he's rated.
Well, I think it's brilliant. We've got two players there, two very similar players who will just give their all for the team.
Yeah.
And look, George Alexander, you can recall him after 28 days of the loan
He's 100% still in the plans, and we know that. I think just with how the season started, it's probably best for George to, you know, go off, do what he does best, which is score goals, then come back an even better player than he already is.
You're looking at me, it looks like I'm trying to fly away here. I'm just fanning my face because it is extremely hot and I'm starting to flag a bit here, I've got to say.
Matt needs a fan.
I need a fan.
The actual fan. An actual supporter of Matt.
Yeah, I do. I get a bit disheartened sometimes, you know. Just need a bit of support. It's all I need, Josh. Not asking for much. But no, seriously, it's very warm in here, so apologies.
It is warm, yeah.
If we start to go a bit delirious, you know why.
I think we already have.
Well, actually, that's a good point. I think that happened a long time ago.
It did, yeah.
Anyway, moving on from the Wealdstone fixture, another young player who has been performing brilliantly during the pre-season campaign, at home to Barnet, man of the match, and another great performance from him on Tuesday is Ben Krauthausen. And Josh, you had the pleasure of catching up with Ben. Here's what went down.
Ben Krauthausen, thank you for joining me on the podcast. How have you found the season so far?
Yeah, it's been all right. It's been tough. It's a tough start, obviously. Two defeats, and then we got a point against Wealdstone. We're getting back into it. It takes time. We've got a new squad, a few new players, so it'll take time to gel. But yeah, we need a win tomorrow, I think, and then we're back on track. So yeah.
And how's it been for you to be involved in all three of these opening games? It must be good for you with the age that you are. It must be good experience for you.
Yeah, obviously, I am a young boy, but at the end of the day, like Gaffer says, if you're good enough, you're old enough, and I think I am. But yeah, I am happy he's played me the last three games. Hopefully I can play as many games this season as possible. Obviously last season, come off the bench a few times. I think I had two starts last season, scored a goal. So yeah, I done all right last season, but hopefully this season I can kick on even more and just play as many games as possible, get a few goals, get a few assists, and just help the team out really as much as I can.
Let's go back to the time you had in the academy. How much do you think that helped in your development?
Oh, it helped massively. Obviously, shout out to the coaches, Jamal, Steve, a few others. They're all great coaches, great people as well. I think looking back on it, especially the FA Youth Cup runs we had, were massive in my development. We had a good squad. So yeah, I think it's helped me a lot. Obviously, coming into the first team, it's a lot different to academy football. But without playing them games back in academy, I wouldn't be the player I am today, I don't think, no.
And you mentioned the FA Youth Cup there. You're quite a hero in our previous couple of runs. And obviously you scored at Fratton Park and at Forest Green. Yeah. How was that for you?
Oh, amazing. I think that was two of the best moments I've had in like playing football, two of the best nights, yeah. But obviously, we had a good squad both years. And I think we made history, didn't we, both years? That's the first, yeah. So that was good. But yeah, I couldn't have done it without the other boys. Everyone was good. But no, scoring at Fratton Park, I think that's the highlight. That was just, because obviously I was a year younger then as well. And that was amazing, amazing night. And it was a good finish as well. It was a decent goal. So yeah, it was good.
And this sort of a big group of you lads made the progression up to the 23s. How key was that for you all to stick together and sort of move up at the same time?
Yeah, I think there was a big group of us, weren't there? Charlie, Sol, Kellen, Tunji, all of us obviously done well in the Youth Cup, and they thought we were good enough to train with the first team and play some games. So yeah, it was nice having them lot around as well, because obviously we're all friends outside of football. So no, it was brilliant to have everyone together, and obviously playing for the first team like with your friends is the best feeling.
And mentioning the 23s, obviously Steve Harris was sort of the head coach during your time with the 23s, and he's now part of the first team. Do you think that's helped with how much you've broken into the first team to have him there? He knows you inside out, same with Kellen, same with Sol in the past couple of years. Do you think that's helped you?
Yeah, obviously it's nice to have someone like you've... Obviously he was our coach for the 23s and in Youth Cup, he helped out a bit as well. So now he's integrated into the first team, I think it helps the young boys massively. And I think he's the one who's pushing for us to come through. So yeah, it's brilliant. It's nice to have him around, and he's a top guy and a top coach as well. So yeah, it's all good.
And what's your relationship like with the senior players in the squad, Webbo and those that have sort of taken you and Kellen and Sol under their wing?
Big shout out to Webby. Him and Bill are probably the nicest guys you ever meet in football. They help you out. Any questions I have, I just ask them. And yeah, they're top guys. And they help the young boys out a lot. So shout out to them too. They're brilliant, brilliant with the young boys.
What was the feeling like when Andy first told you that you were going to be involved in the National League setup and he was going to take a chance on you?
I think it was Southend away. It was when I made my debut, when I come on. And when I was warming up and he told me, I was nervous, but excited at the same time, but very nervous. And I think, come on, and I had a bad touch. And I just thought, oh, no. But then after that, I just got into the game. And ever since then, I've pushed on, and I think I've done well in the games I've played. But yeah, when he first told me, I was nervous, because obviously it's a big step up from under-23s and academy football. But nah, I think I've done well, and hopefully I can keep pushing on and playing as many games this season.
And you scored your first goal against Dagenham. What was that like for you?
Proudest moment, probably, of my footballing career. Obviously getting your first professional goal at home as well, in front of all the fans. And it was a decent goal as well, so no, it was a great feeling.
And we also have to shout out Cray Wanderers, Walton and Hersham. You spent time on loan at both of those clubs. You helped Walton and Hersham with promotion as well. So two successful loan spells for you, and they must have helped you a lot.
Yeah, I think when I went Walton, I was 17 years old or 16. And to be playing men's football and like the games actually mean something, like that's their livelihood, you know what I mean? They need 3 points. It was a great experience for me, and it really showed me what like men's football is really about. And I think that's helped me a lot. And obviously I went to Cray, done really well under Neil Smith, who was here when I used to train first team when he was here. So I knew him already. So yeah, it was great. Both loans were a good experience for me.
And looking back on Tuesday night, obviously your close mate, Sol Kader, he scored his first goal on his senior debut. How was that for you as one of his closest teammates?
I think if you watch the video back, I think I celebrated more than he did when he scored, because I was absolutely buzzing for him. He deserves it. He scores in training all the time. Obviously, he's done well for the 23s, and he's one of my probably best mates here. So seeing him score on his debut was an unreal feeling for me as much as it was for him.
And speaking of your teammates, past and present, Callum Fisher, he's at Norwich. We have to talk about him. Mm. You went to QPR on Wednesday.
Yeah, I went and watched him. Yeah,
you must be buzzing as well for him.
Proud of him, very proud. Obviously, him and Sol are probably my closest friends. So when he was here, when he left, it was obviously sad for me to see him go, but he needs to do it. Like, he's one of the best players I've trained with. He trains so well, he works hard, like his work ethic is second to none. And he just deserves everything he gets. So yeah, hopefully he can push on, make a few appearances in the Championship and show everyone how good he really is.
What advice would you give to our current academy players that want to progress and be first team starter?
I'd say most important thing is training well, just doing extras. Obviously, look at the people you're up against in your position, see what they're doing, make sure you're doing as good as them, And then if they're training 3 or 4 hours a day, you need to train more than that, 5 or 6 hours, just putting in the extra work. And if you're good enough, you'll get your chance at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Okay, finally, let's touch on tomorrow. You're making the trip to Kidderminster. Mm. What are your thoughts going into the game?
It's a game we need to win. Obviously, we haven't started the best, but like I said, the team, it takes time to gel, but training this week has been good. I think the boys know that how important it is that we need to win. And they're not a bad side. Like, obviously, they got promoted last year, didn't they? So, yeah, they'll be looking to make a point in this league. But no, it's a must-win game, and I think we'll get the job done. I think we'll get the job done.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining me, Ben.
All good. Thank you very much.
And just on the injury front as well, I just wanted to add, after that brilliant interview, Josh, that was really, really good. Great to see Josh Pasley back in the team on Tuesday following his serving of a suspension, which was carried over from his time at Havant and Waterlooville last season. And Cole Pekower as well, making his first competitive appearance, the pair of them. And they look good.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were impressed with Josh in pre-season. So it was disappointing that he couldn't play the first couple of games, but yeah, he showed glimpses of why he was bought in on Tuesday night. And same with Cole, he's a solid defender. Obviously, he scored against us last season, so we know what he can do. And I mean, you can see like when the corners were being whipped in, Cole was in there, and he's obviously out to first and foremost help defend the goal, but he's a goal scorer as well, and that's what we need. And same with Josh, like, we need that pacey player on the wing. Obviously, Harry and Kellen have gone, so yeah, it's a good replacement.
And he's got a great cross delivery as well on him.
He has.
Which I'm sure will be a very useful asset for us across the season. Moving on, and we need to just acknowledge every single Bromley supporter who has taken their A-levels or their BTECs and got their results on Thursday. Of course, there'll be a number of those in the academy as well, so very best of luck.
I've actually got a list of of the...
Yes, Josh, well prepared.
Well, thank you to DJ Tombo.
I say well prepared as he's scrolling through many, many pages of notes that he does to prep for these podcasts. Honestly, I don't know what I'd do without you. I really don't. Look, he's still scrolling. Just scroll. The level of detail that goes into this, you know, it's an education.
Oh, I'm
looking through all of that.
Was there
how to prepare for a podcast properly?
Hang on.
And I've now run out of things to say.
Well, you're going to have to fill a little bit more. This isn't even live, so we could actually just take this bit out.
We could take this out, but you're probably not going to take it out.
Nah.
I think.
Oh, hang on. Okay.
Oh, we've got them. Go on. Fire away.
So the first one is Juan Ospina. He's going to Manchester Metropolitan to study sport business management.
Brilliant. And we've got Amo Adoti, who's going to St Mary's University to study sports performance analysis and talent identification. Well done to him.
And Guillaume Proenka.
And he's going to study at the University College of Osteopathy.
And we've also got Izzy Franklin, who is staying in the football environment. She's signed for London City Lionesses.
Wow, brilliant.
And Grace O'Rourke, she's going to become a primary school PE coach.
So the whole ethos around the academy is to be a professional in football, not necessarily be a professional footballer. And some of them, we've talked a lot about the ones that make it through to be the footballers, but these guys are going off to do other careers in football and the world of sport.
Yeah.
Aside from that, behind the
scenes. I think that's what people miss. I know I've been in talks where we've had, you know, those in our academy sort of talking to the parents and the students wanting to come through our academy. And it's not just, you know, do well in the academy, move up to the professional development stage and then first team and then you'll play for Man United one day. It's, you've got to have, you know, a good career. And that's what we're steering these, you know, these academy scholars into, is, you know, there's life away from football.
Absolutely. You're right. And good luck to all of them and all the others who've received their results today. We genuinely wish them the very best of luck with their future journeys. And we hope to see plenty of success stories in the future.
sticking with our youngsters, Matt, and we have more football this Friday. I know you mentioned the under-21s earlier.
Yep.
They obviously won 3-0 last week, but they're back in action this Friday.
They're back, everyone. And certainly, if you are at Loose End on Friday night, you've got to come down and support them. It's a really exciting young crop of players with a brilliant coach in Jamel and a brilliant coaching department and setup. Really, really exciting. The level of detail that's gone into with these under-21s is nothing short of amazing, really. You know, they go through the same processes with regards to the analysis, the gym work, the training sessions, the structure as the first team, pretty much. Come on down this Friday, the 18th of August. Kick off 7:45 p.m. at the Relocatum Community Stadium as Bromley Under-21s take on AFC Dunstable Development. And, of course, if you are a member, entry to that one is free. So definitely come on down, support Jamel and the team. A lot of you will have seen these young players in action previously in pre-season. It's a very exciting group of players, as I've been saying. So if you are getting ready for your football fix at Kidderminster on Saturday, or whether you're going to that or not, get on down to the Relocatum Community Stadium on Friday night. It's well worth it.
We will touch on it a bit later, but it's actually a double header with the women's team playing on Sunday. We'll focus on that a bit more a bit later. But, you know, the lads, the first team are away on Saturday. So club members as well, they can go free both on Friday night and Sunday. So, you know, if you're not heading to Kidderminster, then, you know, make a weekend out of your football fix.
And as well as the free admission, members get the 15% off in Broomfield, which is going to be nice, especially on
and
Friday
if you're
night.
Not a member, it's £5
absolutely,
on Friday night.
Is again, very reasonable for the quality of football that you will see. And talking of the quality of football, the man that is behind all of that is Jamel, the under-21s manager and, of course, head of coaching in the academy. And we caught up with him earlier on a range of different things, from players who've come through under his and others' watch and really made it into the first team and progressed further on, to the under-21s themselves and everything in between. Here's Jamel. Jamel, welcome to the podcast. Is this your first appearance on the podcast? Have you been on here before?
I think it may be, you know. I've done a few interviews, but I don't think I've been on a pod.
Well, welcome to the... Do you like the setup?
It's amazing. I can't believe Jack Holland, Waggy, and I think Escort's been on this.
No,
not yet.
We're going to get him on, though.
Not yet. He's going to come
Jack
on.
Been on before me. That's a liberty. But no,
you're at least on before calls.
I'll take that.
Just talking of that before we get started. Obviously, you head up the coaching for the academy. It's amazing to have professionals of that ilk: Scott Wagstaff, Luke Coulson, and all the other fantastic coaches that you've got. It's testament to the work that everyone puts in. But what great role models for these young players that are coming in to look up to. It must give them a real kick to push on.
Yeah, definitely. And before being professionals, they're really good people. And I think that's the most important thing, to have good people around the building that care about the young people we work with and help push them forward, not only in football, but to give them some life lessons along the way as well. And then good people, but they also had careers in the game and still have careers in the game and still playing. So everything they're doing currently with their coaching, it feeds into their playing. And when they're playing, it feeds back to the players. And they're 10, 12, 15 years ahead of our boys in age. And they're relaying all the good moments, the difficult moments they've been through to the young players we work with. And yeah, it's a blessing to have them here because it gives the boys such valuable insights, knowledge.
And you talk about the importance of being a good person, and actually some of the players that have come through, talking of Kellen Fisher, for example, he wasn't only a model professional, he was a model person. And I guess that reflects on the people that coached him, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think we all conduct ourselves in the right way. It's football, it's passionate, it's emotional, and we all have our moments. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done and the dust has settled, everyone is calm, relaxed, composed, and give the players the best possible messages we can and help them along the way. And that's the pros that are still are coaching with us, and also the other staff as well in the building, like Max and Simon and the other coaches as well. So, yeah.
It is a really good group, I've got to say, just seeing it from the outside in that respect. But we talked briefly off mic a moment ago about Kellen Fisher. And I know it's what everyone's talking about at the minute, but we have to talk to you about this, you know, someone that's been involved in that journey as well. And actually you went to watch him play for Norwich City, making his starting debut against QPR in the EFL Cup. He got a man of the match performance and got a 99th minute assist. It doesn't get too much better than that, does it?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, but he seems to be living the dream, Kellen. So I'm so happy for him. He deserves every moment he's getting to experience, and there'll be much more. I don't think he's not even getting started in the game. He's got so much ahead of him. But yeah, from seeing him on that back pitch at Bromley, and the player he was when he was 16 years old to where he is at the minute, he's progressed so much. And that's just down to, yes, natural talent and his ability. But I can't stress enough how impactful his attitude, his application, and the person he is has got him to where he currently is now, and will continue to take him even further forward.
And you see, you talk about attitude, and I guess that's a big factor for a lot of players not making it in the professional game, is not the talent necessarily, but the attitude. And you look at Kellen, you look at Ben Crowhouse, you look at Sol Kader, you know, you look at Liam Vincent back in the day as well, and other players that have come through. One consistent thing is that the attitude is spot on, I guess, and the ego isn't too big.
Yeah. All of those players you've mentioned are all unique and completely unique, but their application and their attitude to their performance and the team's performance is spot on. And throughout their journeys, they've all had difficult moments where that's been tested and they've had to be reined back in. And that's what goes back to speaking about the staff we've had and the good people that have been there to help them in those moments, to help push them forward, discipline them when they've needed it, and go forward. Because they're all young people. They're going to make mistakes, and that's part of life, part of the game as well. But that longevity of their motivation and their attitude has got them to where they currently are. And again, they're all still so young. They're still developing, still got such a long journey ahead of them, and they just need to maintain that. And having the good people around them, coaches, friends, family, are massively important to that journey as well.
And speaking of the young players, we've also got Ben Crowhouse, who's been a regular this season for the first team. That must make you feel proud, and obviously those have helped him in his journey as well.
Yeah, I think it's thoroughly deserved. Ben's got so much talent. That was clearly evident when he first joined us as a 16-year-old. And he's one who's had his moments, and he struggled with his motivation at times. But every test has come his way, he's passed it. He's been on loan, he's not been involved, he's gone back on loan, he's performed really well on loan. And I think this pre-season, seeing him come in during the off-season and putting in the work he did. And I also think Kellen's move really opened Ben's eyes and made him realise, wow, I can achieve as much as Kellen's achieved, and there's something there for me as well, and it's pushed him to the next level. And I've seen him in the off-season take that into pre-season, and now starting 3 out of 3 games for the first team is brilliant. But he can go even further. There's still more to come from Ben.
And I think one thing that sort of springboarded those players that you've mentioned is the FA Youth Cup. And obviously, Ben's made a big impact in that competition. I know last season we had Frankie Vidd, who's now at Millwall. Do you think that competition in itself has helped these players sort of progress?
Yeah. From an academy standpoint, that was the moment where I think the footballing, the not only our first team, but the footballing world, quote unquote, kind of took us seriously and went, wow, there's some players here. And it's funny because that was just one result going back a few years away to Portsmouth where we beat them, and it made everyone, woke everyone up. There's always been good players here, but that broke down the door. And ever since, set a standard for the rest of the young players coming in as well, and performing in that, there's so many eyes on us from the first team, from other football clubs, from the league. It really does help with their development, because it's the closest they'll get to replicating first team football, because there's a lot on it. And like you say about Ben, his record in the FA Youth Cup is unrivaled. He scored in every round he played in bar one. And he kept reminding me of that last year. I had to tell him to stop, because it's done. It's over now. He's got to look forward and focus on breaking into the first team. And he hasn't mentioned it in a few weeks. So, yeah, don't let him mention it to anyone if you see him.
Do you think Steve Harris has sort of made a big impact in seeing these young players break into the first team? Obviously, he's had his own journey through the academy, obviously the youth section, and obviously being in your position now with the under-23s, which are now the under-21s, do you think him being involved in Andy's coaching staff has opened the door even wider.
Yeah, I think so. I think Steve's championed the young players from day dot. His journey's come through youth football as well. And we work together with those group of players. So working really closely with Steve, seeing his journey and him progressing to the first team, I think helped those young players realise there is a pathway at this football club, not just as players, but as staff and someone who's worked with them and the detail of work that Steve produces and his passion and his application is transferred into the first team and he thrives in that environment as well. And it's allowed, yeah, an easy pathway for our players. And I'm sure he's convinced the gaffer and help him understand and make him realise how good the young players are. But complete credit to Andy because he puts them in. He's brave and he plays the young players and he trusts them and he gives them a platform to express themselves and help him get results, as Sol did on Tuesday night.
Talking of Sol, always believe in your Sol, which is what you and the academy staff have done and what Andy Woodman ultimately did. That. You like that one?
Good, yeah.
I've got that in my locker, Josh, don't you worry.
Is that off the cuff?
That was off the cuff. I wasn't sitting here festering that for the last few minutes. But in all seriousness, Andy Woodman did exactly that and put the belief in Sol. Threw him into the starting lineup on Tuesday night and that belief was repaid. And again, you know, we keep saying it, I'm sure a very proud moment for yourself and all of your team and in the academy as well.
Yeah, definitely. Again, speaking to go back on the other players, Kellen and Ben, their development's been accelerated a bit quicker than Sol's. And to look at Sol and see those two go ahead and him not quite get the opportunities would have been difficult for him and his motivation would have waned a little bit. But he's kept going. He's kept going. He's proven himself at multiple levels of football. Youth football, 21s, going on loan last season with VCD and scoring goals at that level. In pre-season with the 21s, scoring goals against Step 3 clubs, Step 4 clubs. And catching the eye every time we played someone. Everyone would always ask me about Sol and his availability. And he's kept going. And yeah, he got his opportunity on Tuesday night. And there's just something about him. He's a player, a young player, who loves that moment in front of goal. You see a lot of attackers, they get in front of goal or they get into the final third and they're a little bit wasteful with their opportunities because they might seize up a little bit because that's the most difficult part of football. But Sol naturally enjoys that moment. He enjoys the moment where it's him and the goalkeeper and the goal and he's got to put the ball in the back of the net. And he had one chance on Tuesday and he scored. So long may that continue.
Well, like you say, it was brilliant. And it felt like in his post-match interview, he spoke about being here from the age of 14. And it felt like everything built up to that moment. It's difficult to describe the emotions he must have been feeling. And everybody connected with his development as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a lot of people that have helped Sol along his way, his family. Coaches that he's had as well. And I remember Sol being here at 14 and he weren't living in the area, he was living a bit further out, travelling down from quite far away to train twice a week to play on Saturdays. I remember him going on the tour, we went on a tour to France as well and Sol playing in that from the age of 14, 15. So I've seen his journey and his personality hasn't changed much. He's always been so driven. He's always had that look in his eye. Very intense. I have to laugh and joke with him sometimes to kind of smile and let his hair down a little bit. But he's so intense and so driven. And that wasn't... That like you said, he's been manifesting that moment for years and years and years. And to see it happen for him, it was a really good moment.
It is. It's brilliant, isn't it? For everybody connected. And just on that note, before we come on to other things, all of the players that we've spoken about have had one thing in common, and that's loan spells. Understanding men's football, getting used to it. In your opinion, you work with these players day in, day out. Do you see the difference when they come back from these loans? How important are they?
Yeah, as much as we try to work at youth level, we can't replicate the environment of the three-point game. And by that, I mean, at the 21s, we want to win every game. At 18s, we want to be as competitive and win every game as possible. But at men's football, if you lose three games on a bounce, managers are looking over their shoulders. Players are getting blamed. There's more on it. There's a lot more on it. And the boys going into that environment, I quickly realised that because the senior players in those dressing rooms let them know. And they have to be at it. the duels are, it's more competitive, it's more intense, there's more duels. Yeah, so we can't, as much as we try to, and believe me, we really do try to, we can't recreate that environment. So them going to experience it does help them massively, and it helps bridge the gap between 21's football, or 18's football, 21's football, and the first team.
Talking of 21's football, that's what you're currently preparing for at the minute. Friday's game, or tomorrow's game, I should say, at home to AFC Dunstable. How's everything going with the group at the minute? There's so much talent in that group, and players that are kind of in the first team as well. It's really brilliant to see on a consistent basis now.
Yeah, no, it is. It's going well. We had a really tough pre-season playing against Step 3, Step 4 clubs. So it was tough for the boys. But it's served them so well, because it's readied them not only for the season, but their next step in football, which we're constantly trying to do. So I've been really pleased with their training levels, the intensity, the application on the pitch, in the gym, with the analysis sessions and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of good talent. And yeah, we're really confident going into every game we play. We want to win every game we play. They're going to make mistakes along the way because they're young, but that's what our jobs are there to do, to correct them and guide them and push them. And I'm sure there'll be another couple of Bens and Souls coming through very soon.
Friday the 18th of August, Bromley Under-21s versus AFC Dunstable Development here at the Relocatum Community Stadium, kickoff 7:45. And it's, I know that the fans coming down may not realise actually how much their support means to these young players. And actually, the fans will have enjoyed watching a lot of these players at Dulwich in the Glenbeverley Memorial Cup, and even against Crystal Palace here a few weeks back.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great moments for the players, because it exposes them to a proper crowd, a couple thousand people. And it connects them with the fan base, with the football club, which I think is really important. And I've seen the club do that in the last couple of years. There's a real connection with the football club, and our culture at the football club promotes young players. It's become part of the club's culture, and the boys buy into that, the fans buy into that, and it will only improve.
Well, Jamel, best of luck for the game. For those of you listening, members, of course, can go in for free. Bromley versus AFC Dunstable Development here at the Relocatum Community Stadium, Friday the 18th of August, if I can get my words out, 7:45. Jamel, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck for the game.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Josh.
Cheers. So, yeah, make sure you're all down there Friday night, and, you know, be one of the first to see our new batch of under-23s. Now, we've got a new batch of first-year pros. It's now time to see our new set of young talent.
And these coaches are working really hard to find the next breakthrough into the first team, and I don't think they're far off it now. I think there could be a handful of those come the end of the season and later on in the season. For sure, they've just got to be a little bit patient, because it doesn't always happen instantly. You've got to work hard. You've got to do what Sol Cader has done, which is be patient.
Yeah, exactly.
Your time will come. Your time will come. If you've got the right attitude and application, your time will come. Moving on to the next fixture for Bromley, and that is, of course, this coming Saturday, the 19th of August, as we make the trip to Kidderminster Harriers, which is a place that we haven't been for a few years. Joe Anderson scoring in a 1-0 victory on our last visit, if I recall correctly. And I remember in my early days of supporting Bromley back in the Conference South, we beat a National League or Conference Premier at the time side, Kidderminster. I think they were on a silly 14-15 game unbeaten run. We were on a very bad run towards the bottom of the Conference South, and Danny Waldron scored a penalty to put us 1-0 up. And then the goalkeeper, Bromley goalkeeper Joe Welch, I think at the time, saved a late penalty from Kidderminster. I think it was Anthony Malbon with the penalty then. And he saved it to send Bromley through to the next round. I think it was of the FA Trophy. And that was a real scalp back then, and a real shock result. And now the teams go toe-to-toe together in the National League. Kidderminster have drawn one and won one and lost one of their opening three games. So it'll be interesting to see how they set up and what kind of game we're in for. But for me, Josh, a new ground. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm looking forward to it as well.
And we'll, of course, be providing live commentary for you over on Bromley FC Live. So do join us from 2:55 p.m, 5 minutes before kickoff, where we'll bring you the team news and everything surrounding that. And then join us for commentary of that game. Myself, Matt, will be joined by Dan Bentley, and maybe even the occasional word from Josh. You never know, on the afternoon. And, of course, to those of you who are travelling, have a safe journey up, and we look forward to seeing you all up there. Next up, we've got the man himself, the main man, Andy Woodman. He's a constant on this podcast, and he's always got a brilliant message. He's always got an entertaining little quirk.
This one's a good one.
It is a good one.
This one's a good interview.
And what I really love about interviewing Andy is he never pulls punches. He's always very honest.
Yeah.
And if we weren't good enough, he'll say it. And he's just very open, especially when he sits in this seat. This seat does things to people. You know, you find that the players open up when they come in here.
And you're sat in that seat.
Sat in that seat right now. And I'm probably not any different to when I'm sat over there. But, you know, when you get players and coaching staff and Andy on, it really is, it's this environment. It just relaxes people and they open up. And it's always such a pleasure. I know I keep saying it, but it's such a pleasure to catch up with Andy. Win, lose or draw, he's very honest and he says things how they are. And here's what he had to say this week. Andy, thanks for joining us, as always, in the hot seat over there on the podcast. Let's talk about the week just gone by, starting with Saturday. Obviously, a tough one to take against Barnet, first and foremost.
Look, losing at home is never a great one to take. I've got to be careful because we I didn't say we played great, but I thought we started quite well in the game. We looked okay, I thought, early parts of that match. And then we conceded a really sloppy goal, you know, real sloppy by our standards. And then we seemed to lose our confidence a little bit. And obviously their towels were up. And then we give away another sloppy goal in the second half. Disappointing was the word, yeah, disappointing. It's clear to see we're not quite fired at the moment. We've got injuries. We didn't have Josh Pasley Saturday. You know, we're kind of juggling the team around a little bit, you know, and that's been tough. And I don't want that to sound like an excuse, but that is where we're at. We haven't got a squad of massive amounts of players, which I'm happy with, you know, with the players we've got. So we have to make do sometimes and move players around, like Jude Arthur playing right wing back's a tough role for Jude because then we miss him out in the middle of the park. But, yeah, it was a tough day for us to take. They're not a bad team, Barnet, let's be honest. They're a strong team. They were strong last year. They're strong this year. But I didn't think, other than the two goals, there was loads amongst, you know, loads between the two teams. But it's not easy to say that or hard to say it when you've just got done 2-0.
We moved on to Tuesday. There wasn't really much time to dwell on that one. Straight on to Tuesday. And it was clear to see, I think you said post-match, that there was an improvement that you were much happier with Tuesday.
Yeah, again, again, I've got to be careful because I saw a couple of comments of people saying, what games is bloke watching and all that. You know, I'm not stupid. There was improvement. And we did play some good football at times. And they did have a lot of the ball, you know, and that's what we want them to do. We don't want them to do, but that's what we set up to do them and nick it off. And we done it loads last year, set the press and let them overplay and nick it. And we did that better second half. First half, first 15 minutes until the incident on the side of the pitch, we was off it. And, you know, I'm not that stupid. We couldn't get the ball and their patterns and our shape was wrong. So, after the incident, you know, when we had the little break in play, I changed a few bits and the way we set up and the way we pressed, and I felt we was better. A team like Wealdstone, you know, I've got to remind people, they're always going to sort of play that sort of way of football, and it works for them. And people say, well, why don't you do it? Well, we play our brand of football, and at the moment we're not quite there, but I think people shouldn't forget our brand of football last year. There was a lot of clubs looking at our brand of football last year that was fantastic, And it's second half, I saw our brand of football a lot more. You know, it was a bit more attacking, a little bit more on the front foot. And when I have to explain that front foot word because I hear people use it all the time, we was braver with the press. And if one went, then the next one knew he had to go. And we was all sort of on the same page. And that comes with confidence as well. And, you know, I was happy with that. And I thought we showed some fighting spirit. And then young Sokodar got the goal, which I was delighted for him. I really was. Not just because we got a point. I thought we could have nicked it at the end. We had chances and we could have lost it at the end. Not that blinkered. And there was a couple of big moments in the match, which, you know, I have to address. You know, a penalty decision, which is a penalty. I don't think I can say any other thing about it. And an offside that was 2 yards onside. So, you know, I always mention the margins, but they had two massive margins that have gone against us. But look, we're going to have to just keep battling through this. And I always believe that if you keep grafting hard and working hard, the luck will turn with you and those decisions go back with you.
We've got to talk about Sol Kader and his post-match interview. He talked about...
I say his name wrong all the time. The lads batter me. I call him Sol Kader. I don't know why. I get his name wrong all the time. I'm going to stick to that.
We've all been there. We've all been there. He talks about coming up through the ranks at the club from the under-14s upwards. And he talked about, you know, he came into your office the day before and you sat him down and what you said to him. And it's clear to see that the confidence that talk has given him. And you must have been really delighted with his performance and of course, the goal.
Yeah, look, the one thing I have learned in this job is the power of me speaking to these players and particularly the younger ones. I'm not speaking about tactics. I'm not speaking about, like, you know, trying to invent the wheel here. I'm speaking to them as if I was speaking to my own son because that's how I want to treat them all. You know, I want them all to have really good careers and I really want them to grab the moment and not have pressure. So I had a long chat with Sol the day before the game. And I explained to him that this isn't just a case of me not having a striker and chucking you in. I've really had a lot of admiration for Sol. He's been close for a little while. And last season he was close, albeit we was on that run and we kept going and it was good for us. But Sol didn't get a look in. And pre-season I kind of looked at other options at that point, but wanted to try and get him in as well. And hence why I let George go out on loan, because George needs to be playing regular football. He doesn't need to be sitting on my bench. And I felt Sol's got a point to prove, and I think Sol proved it, certainly on Tuesday night. So I had a long chat, and it wasn't a case of me giving him confidence. It was actually a case of me telling him the truth of what I think of him and what I feel he could be. And he showed it in abundance. I thought it would really give us a little bit of bite at the top of the pitch.
And something that always gets discussed when people talk to you and interview you and what the players say actually is how much trust you put in these young players. And you've seen, although the result wasn't what we'd hoped on Saturday, Ben Crowhouse, man of the match, Sol Kader, goal, a man of the match on Tuesday. It's clear to see that the talent and is there and clearly the belief from yourself and your management team.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kellen Fish has been our success story. We can't get away from that. We've got quite a few success stories of young players. But he's the one, the narrative at the moment. And I like playing young players, not just because, oh, it's an easy cop-out, chuck a young one. You know, I like to see these young boys develop. Where I've come from, Arsenal, they put trust in their young players. And I looked at that closely at Arsenal when I was there, and I thought it was brilliant. I loved that they did that. So I do play them, and I do trust them, but they don't just get chucked in and I just pick them out there and say, chuck me a player, I want to chuck him in. They work with us every day. And I think there's a lot of people before me that deserve credit. I think Jamal in the academy and probably younger coaches that have had Sol in the academy deserve a pat on the back. I mean, one gentleman come up to me who I have to be honest, I didn't really know, and said, oh, I found Sol. And I'm sure there's a lot of people telling me they found Sol. But there's been a lot of people in Sol's journey and his young boy's journey that have put bits into him and put trust into him. And he's come to my doorstep last season, probably beginning of last season, yes. And there was something about Sol I liked. You know, he's a tenacious young man that wants it. He's quite single-minded. I can see that in him. He's not worried about... He hasn't got that sort of like look over his shoulder of, like, oh, should I really be here? He doesn't feel like an imposter. And that's what I want. I want these boys to come in the building and say, yeah, I deserve to be in the shirt, and then back it up. And he's done that, Sol. And I'm on that one game so far. And I'm chuffed for him. And I'll continue to keep playing the young players. You know, I really will. That's not an issue. The balance I have to get is the crowd love young players, the club loves young players, but the crowd and the club and the owner, they want results as well. So we can all pat me on the back for playing all these young players. But look, I've got to get results, and I know that. And it's very early on, by the way, to start getting carried away that we, you know, results. But that's the balance I have to have. I'm giving the sort of balance to the bigger picture. I'd play all the young players. We might not necessarily get the results, but I have to get that balance right. And those boys have done nothing but good for themselves and good for the next batch of the academy boys, because I've seen a real spring in all of their steps now, which I like that.
Really, really good to hear. Just on the injury front, you touched on it earlier on. It's been really quite a unique, strange and frustrating period because you've had the players, we had a long injury list at the start of the season. You've had a couple of players come back and then you've lost James Vennings and you've lost Louis Dennis for that game as well. I haven't really seen anything like this before. It's a bit of a strange situation.
It's certainly not happened in my time here. So this is a bit of new managerial experience, you could say, for me since I've been at Bromley, where we've had a really good pre-season. I'm feeling like it's going okay. And then bang, 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 three or four injuries right at the week leading into pre-season. And then we've had a reoccurring. I mean, you haven't mentioned Mitchell Burkamp there. No one's seen Mitchell Burkamp. You know, he's got a few problems at the moment. So Tate Campbell, you know, is another one we brought in. There's been an injury there that's quite a long injury. So we really have been unlucky with that. And I'd like to be able to point the finger and say, oh, it's this person's done something wrong or we've done this wrong. I do think we've just been a little bit unlucky and they've just all come at once. You know, and we have looked at it internally really closely. The other thing we've got to be mindful of is these games now. It's going to be 8 minutes at halftime and another 15 minutes or 12 minutes at the end of some games. It's a lot of minutes. And I know the man on the street will say, well, no, they can play that. At that intensity, that's where you get your injuries because it starts racking up. They don't want to hear that, you know, the supporter. I get that. So we have had a little bit of injury. It has hurt us a little bit and we've lost the balance of the team. And then when you lose the balance of the team and things are not quite right, you lose a little bit of confidence and everyone just comes off it. I saw a team the other night that, in my opinion, showed me exactly what Bromley were about second half and first half. I would say even when we was having a tough time, we defended. Cole Kapipa, I would say his name wrong.
Pekawa.
I'm notorious for knowing all their names wrong. He put his body on the line for a couple of big blocks. Chin put himself on the line for a block. You know, and this is what we've got to do. And I felt there was a lot of positives the other night. And I know one or two people, well, you know, he didn't play very well, and there was positives. So we're slowly now getting back into that momentum a little bit with a team that's a little bit more settled.
What you always say is trust the process. It's not always instant, is it?
No, you got to trust the process. We haven't, you know, someone reminded me the other day, 4 games ago, we was 1 game away from Wembley and getting promoted. And when you put it like that, 4 games later, I can feel a little bit of nerves in that. Well, there's no nerves here. I'm fine. I trust the process. I trust the process every year I've been here. And I hope people at this football club trust the process of what we're doing and how we're going about it and what we've done in the past. And look, we want to keep getting better and better. And at the moment, there'll be, you haven't won a game. Relax, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. I have no doubt about it. We've got our goals, we've got our objectives, and we just got to get a settled team and a fit group of players out on the pitch. And a knock-on effect of that, Matt, is the training. You know, you can't get a training schedule in place because you haven't got a team and you haven't got players and you're resting because you don't want to get more injuries. And that's been a little bit dysfunctional as well. You know, again, I'm not making any excuses. This is just trying to give our supporters a little bit of a picture of maybe some of the problems that they wouldn't think about or know about and probably don't want to know about, if the truth be known. If I was a supporter, I'd be like, I don't know about that. I just want my team to win. So I get all of it.
It shows, I guess, the importance of not necessarily your management team in the office over there, but the people downstairs, the HUS, the sports science, the physio team, and actually that they've been working in overdrive for the past few weeks.
Listen, there's one thing I can never, ever hold up my door or my staff's door or my players' door. I think we graft, and I think my staff graft, and we when we're away from here, we're still working. You know, I know people might find... I'm on the phone I'm non-stop. I'm literally looking at my watch now because I'm going to a game over at Charlton in a minute. Non-stop. And we're all the same, you know. I mean, I had Alan Dunn ring me up, but text me at 1 o'clock in the morning where he's still watching a game. And I'm not sure if you're awake, Gaffer. Have you seen this? And it's non-stop like that. And that's how it should be, by the way. I'm not trying to play the martyr or we're so great. That's what we're like. You know, we're relentless in what we do, and that filters down to the players and the staff, and that's what we keep doing, and we keep building, and we want that culture in the club, and we we've got that culture. We're trying to build that culture, so it's even more. We're more relentless in what we do. The harder I work, the luckier I get, is the old phrase, and I've always believed in that.
Finally, we make the trip, another away game on Saturday, and a newly promoted side in the form of Kidderminster Harriers.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a tough game. I think I say it every week. There's not a lot between top and bottom, in my opinion, in like the top teams and the bottom teams. And I don't know where we put each of us in those brackets, or the Chesterfields. You know, we're all big clubs in here. It's about getting your game plan right on the day, getting your team settled, and making sure that you stick to the game plan and the process. It will come down to fine margins, 9 times out of 10. It really will. And we've got to make sure that those margins come back across to us, those 1%. And they will do. You know, I've got to be honest, mate. I mean, if you see me around the place, I'm really upbeat and confident. I'm actually quite excited about the season ahead. I'm excited about the battle I've got in front of me. And I've said that to my team the other night. The way we battled the other night, whether it was good, bad or ugly to the man on the street or the supporter, we had a team that went out there and grafted. And our numbers from that match were higher than any numbers we'd done last season. And I didn't think that on a night. We run more distance last night and a Tuesday night and more high-speed running, which again, the supporter might not realise this, the kilometres we've done and the high-speed kilometres we've done, like sprints, we run more the other night than we did any other team last season. So I know my team's fit. And the argument would be, well, you probably had to run because you had the ball that much. Nope, we get that. We know that. We want to control the game a bit more, but we're not quite at that stage yet. We're working on this. And there's all different parts of it. But we're all right. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'm looking forward to the progression of the team at the moment. And look, no league's won. No league in any country in the world is won in August and September, as we know in past experiences. So, just stay with us. Be patient. We'll be okay. I'm really, really excited about the season ahead.
Well, so are we. Thanks, Andy, for your time. And we'll catch up with you after the Kidderminster game.
Thank you.
And now, Josh, it's time for the vibrancy of the podcast. It's Community Corner, everyone. The jingle's back.
Beautiful.
Did someone send that in after our podcast last week?
No, we've got nothing.
We've got nothing.
We should have a joint. We should have like a joint email account that's like Ravens Weekly.
Yeah, I think we've got to ask Fabian, our resident IT man, to sort that out for us. In all seriousness, if someone doesn't get a jingle to us, I think we might have to get Roy Oliver to sing on the podcast to do a little jingle for us, and he'll have to sing it.
Oh dear.
And I think even Roy himself might not want to resort to that. But anyway, we'll come on to that man, the legend that is Roy Oliver, very shortly. But just first up on Community Corner, we are midway through, or actually over midway through, our summer soccer camps. And they've gone so well so far. So thank you to everyone who's brought their child down and enjoyed some football fun with us during this summer holiday. We've also had our half camp here this week, which is for children on free school meals and SEN children as well. And we've been providing them with some brilliant footballing activities, as well as educational sessions facilitated by the likes of the Winehouse Foundation, who came in on Tuesday, the Money Charity, who came in on Wednesday, and the Bromley Police, who came in today and brought their police van in as well for the children to learn about and have a look at. Absolutely brilliant. They get a nutritious hot meal provided by the brilliant chefs in Brimfield's Bar and Kitchen as well. And thank you to the Bromley Children and Families Forum for engaging with us on that. And we really are very proud to make that provision. We had our wonderful Ravens chat here today as well. If you are over the age of 50 and you want to come along and join the Ravens chat, just head over to bromleyfc.org and you can find out more about all of our community activities there. And one of the members of that Ravens chat is the man we mentioned a few minutes ago. And Josh, I feel like Roy Remembers is just getting better each time. He comes out with some real quirky stuff.
It is. It's very unique. And was it last week we had the
corners points or goals?
Yeah, that just blew my mind.
Would you ever have considered anything like that could even conceivably happen?
I do want to know if you can celebrate. after you taking a corner.
You raised that, actually. So if you take a corner...
But would it be taking a corner or winning the corner?
That's a good point. Because if you take a corner and it's a terrible delivery,
yeah,
and the opposition get the ball and run up the other end and score, you're in a bit of a sticky situation there.
Weird one. On Tuesday night, we nearly celebrated a corner, didn't we? When Ben crossed it in, it hit the crossbar.
Yes, we did. So, but that would have been celebrating the corner going into the net.
True, yeah.
I think we might need to get Roy's opinion on this next week.
Yeah. I think it's winning the corner.
Mm, I think you might be right.
And I also think we're thinking too much into it.
I think we are. So let's give it to Roy, shall we? Cool. Roy, the floor is yours. Just very briefly before we start, you were at Tuesday's game and, of course, a 1-1 draw for Bromley on the evening. But wonderful to see Sol Kader, another academy graduate, score. And brilliant to see these young players flourishing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely brilliant. You know, I felt that at the start of the game, we needed to get a point at least to get us on the go, on the board, and to score a goal. They had a few good chances, didn't take them, and then they took the lead, and you really feared a bit that if they get the second one, you know, we could be struggling a little bit. But they didn't get the second one, and we gradually got back into the game, and then Sol Kader came up with the goods, and the crowd went absolutely righteous, you know, because we scored our first goal of the season. So, and yeah, we got, and we had chances to probably snatch the win in the end. But yeah, we got a good 1-1 result.
Well, moving on then, we move on to Saturday in Kidderminster, and best of luck to the team for that one. You're going, aren't you?
Yes, I'll be going up there. I'll go up by car. There's four of us in the car, so we'll be with Andy and his son, Jamie and John Collins. So yeah, so we'll be motoring up there. I think we're coming down here Saturday morning to have maybe a bit of breakfast before we go.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, Roy, you are here for Roy Remembers. What have you got for us this week?
So I'm doing our first accounts from 1894. So the first accounts from 1893, because we played at Queensmead, down the bottom of Queensmead, you couldn't charge any gate makers on public land. So when we got our first ground and we could charge was 1893-94 at the Glebe Road ground. And well, I've got the accounts here for the whole season.
Wow, that's
so
different.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go through a few bits and pieces here. On the receipts side, we had a balance of £2.14 from the season before. We had a balance of the sports ball at £2.13. Proportional gates of account, semi-final Kent Junior Cup, £1.05. Profit from sale of shirts, because we sold them light blue and olive green shirts that season. And then season tickets were £4.05 they made. And a season ticket was £5.
A little bit different in today's times.
Yeah, a lot of difference. And the total gate receipts for the whole season was £147.14. That was, and they charged threepence for a man and a penny for boys. Ladies went free.
Wow. This is,
there was quite a few ladies that supported Bromley in them days, even them days.
It's incredible, yeah, what you, yeah, find.
And on the on the expenditure side, the biggest two things were maintenance of the ground and cost of training, £30.16.6. And balls, nets, fencing, etc.
Easy for you to say.
£30.16. Police, £1.05.
Wow.
For the police. And the total deficit of concert at Grand Hall was £2.05. So it all adds up with £191.08.
Wow.
The accounts.
Incredible. Where do you find this?
In the newspapers.
Wow.
So it's just a matter of digging. And in fact, I've got all the balance sheets for about the first 10 years and probably the other ones after that as well.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's great. But now you've got a computer, you can now look at all the newspapers online, which is amazing.
Which sounds like what you're doing.
Well, I haven't got a computer, and I'm not very good at computers, I've got to admit.
You've got somebody working with you, though, haven't you? Mark, who does a lot of research with you.
Yes, so he's finding the stuff what I don't even know, and vice versa, he's finding that stuff from me that he didn't know. So the collaboration is that all this stuff is going to be put online, and eventually we're going to get a new book out detailing 140, 50 years then by then of everything, team lineups, everything, goal scorers.
That'll be brilliant. I'll definitely be reading that.
Yeah, so, and lots of other changes, because there's certain things in the Santorini book what are not quite correct.
Oh, dear.
And one of them comes to mind is we had a player called Stapley, who said got an amateur international while playing for Bromley. He didn't. He got one when he played for Glossop North End, who are still going.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not a local one, though.
No, not a local team.
From Bromley to Glossop North End.
Yeah, and he got an amateur international. In fact, he got several, but he never got one for playing for Bromley.
Oh. Well, it's good that you're here to set us right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roy, we really appreciate it. And I genuinely can't wait to see what you've got for us next week. You surprise us each week. You've always got something in your locker. How do you vary it up so much?
I'll have to go through. This week I'll have to go through and find out some more stuff out. I'll try to pick out four or five things.
You do a brilliant job.
I can do over the next few weeks.
You do a brilliant job, and we really appreciate your time. And thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Matt. Josh.
It's always a pleasure to have Roy, and another really quirky instalment of Roy Remembers, which I really, really enjoyed. And it's really nice, actually, somebody earlier, Neil from Raven's Chat, came to compliment the podcast earlier, and he said he particularly loves Roy Remembers, and so do I.
Brilliant.
And so do you, Josh, and it's great to have Roy in here.
We need to keep the history alive these modern times.
I could just talk about how amazing Roy is all day, but his knowledge, and he's worked really closely. I have to give a shout out to Mark Andrews, who has worked really closely with Roy to help him, and John Self as well, who is another fantastic knowledge holder of the history of this football club. And they, those three people hold so much knowledge, and there are others as well, you know, that are out there. It's very much appreciated when we are able to convey the history of this football club to our listeners that little bit more. And you and I are still learning things as well as we speak.
Because he bought in a season ticket, didn't he, this morning?
He did, from 1922.
Yeah.
Incredible. And it was very well preserved, actually.
It was.
Well, it was more of a season book than season. It's like a little booklet, a miniature kind of booklet, wasn't it? Really interesting, actually. And it had kind of that old book smell, but it was very pristine. There were no pages that were torn out or crumpled or folded. It was all in very good condition.
We need a Bromley FC museum.
We do. Who knows? Watch this space, Josh. Watch this space. Anyway, we're going to go down under to the other side of the world now. And we're going to...
Crossover live.
Yes, crossover. Well, not quite live. We could have facilitated a live crossover, but it would have been...
Would have been here at like
silly o'clock,
2 a.m.
Yeah, but anyway, we're going to head over to our special correspondent out in Australia, catching the very best of the Women's World Cup, and in particular the Lionesses' fantastic progression to the final. And that is none other than our Women and Girls Development Officer at the Bromley FC Community Sports Trust, Andrea Ellis. Here's what she's been up to, and here's how things have been going down under.
It's just 24 hours after England's win against the Matildas in the World Cup semi-final, and it's not really sunk in at all. As you can probably hear, I've lost my voice, just starting to get it back now. A little bit too much shouting and cheering last night, and definitely too many renditions of Sweet Caroline. The atmosphere at the Olympic Stadium on Wednesday night was absolutely fantastic. Leading up to the game, everything here has been 24/7, Matildas, and obviously the tickets for the semi-final were just like gold dust. Everyone wanted one. We knew the crowd was going to be predominantly Australian, and it was, with about 90% of the crowd wearing green and gold. But England have shown that in this tournament they're getting better each game, and they did that again. There was a good start by Australia, but England was strong and organised. And then thank you, Ella Toon. She sure knows how to score on the big stage. an absolute pile driver in the top corner. And that rocket now makes her the first player to have ever scored in a quarters, a semi and a final of big tournaments, so both European Championships and the World Cup. Absolutely fantastic, and a world away from the performance she had against Colombia. But the Australians were able to respond by looking at their national hero, Sam Kerr. She managed to jump on an error and shoot it from 25 yards, get past Mary Earps to make it 1-1. And, you know, I was worried. I thought we were going to crumble, but I needn't have been worried. We were so calm, and quite quickly we responded with capitalising on a defensive error with Hemp scoring her second goal in as many games. And she was involved again to take the game out of sight for Australia. Her little cheeky, exquisite, no-look pass set Russo up, and she scored past the Australian goalkeeper for almost carbon copy of her goal against the in the quarters. So we're going to the final. And as I said, to say I celebrated was a complete understatement, or is a complete understatement. The atmosphere's been brilliant here. The Supporters Association arranged fan meetups, and we've been going to all of those, and we were lucky enough for Jill Scott to come along to us. And I had a moment where I was standing underneath the harbour bridge with the Opera House in the background, chanting and singing with a load of England fans and Jill Scott. Absolutely brilliant. So it's not disappointed at all. It's been full of football for the past 10 days, and it's been brilliant to meet fans from around the world. And just as we've seen last year with England winning the Euros, I'm sure that the Matildas' performance over this last few weeks is going to change female football for the better in Australia. So one amazing thing to come out of it is brilliant. So now we're just left with two teams, England and Spain. A lot of people predicted that beforehand. Obviously, I'm hoping we're going to do it one more time. It would be the most amazing achievement. And, you know, we say in Serena we trust, and we absolutely do. She has taken a team to the last four European or World Cup finals. And that's an amazing achievement for her manager. She's just got it spot on, absolutely spot on. But we're taking on Spain, and we know that they were our sternest test last year in the Euros. They were winning until the last 6 minutes, and then luckily, obviously, we managed to take it to extra time and go through after that last year. And we know here that the team's adapted and flourished. A lot of key players have been missing through injury. And we obviously had the suspension of Lauren James as well after that red card in the Nigeria game. But hopefully their togetherness will win through on Sunday. So if you're not out here in Sydney, make sure you get yourself down to Broomfields to watch the game. It will be out on the TVs there, on the big screens. So get down there early for the 11 a.m. kickoff. It's going to be a brilliant atmosphere. We've got a load of bells going. The women's football team is going to be down there, and their opponents are coming early before their fixture that afternoon. So it's going to be a great friendly atmosphere. And of course, some of you might be saying, actually, I'd love to start playing football, or I'd love my daughter or my granddaughter to start playing football. Well, if you've been inspired, then obviously our Community Trust runs a whole number of programmes for all our females, from 18 months old to over 80. We've got our mini Ravens, our Wildcats, our squad girls, our development sessions. We've got recreational and walking football for our female adults. So many different opportunities to play football. If you want to find out more information, go to our website, bromleyfc.org, and see how you can get involved in football. Come on, England!
Just a little heads up going into the next section of the podcast. We recorded this on Thursday when Matt was here. We're basically going to go and talk about Sunday, the Women's Super Sunday that we've got going on at Bromley Football Club, which would have included the Lionesses showing in Broomfields, followed by Bromley Women's first league game of the season. However, we have since received news that Bromley Women's game has been postponed, so it will just be the Lioness is showing, but we will be showing the Premier League games on in the afternoon. So make sure you still come down to Broomfields. It will be a really fun day. It's expected to be busy, so make sure you get your free ticket over at the website. We'll update any fixture news regarding our women's team on the website. So we'll have a rearranged date in place for the next, whenever it's arranged really, but pass you over to the main part of the podcast, but just sort of, I'll give you all a heads up. Sticking with the Lionesses, Matt, we've got a busy one on Sunday.
We've got Women's Super Sunday here at the Relocatum Community Stadium in Broomfields Bar and Kitchen and on the stadium pitch.
And
join us. Go on.
Rumour has it, it's free.
It is
free. The whole day.
It is free. Join us from 10 o'clock when Broomfields Bar and Kitchen will open. The Lionesses Cup Final is on at 11 o'clock. Very best of luck to them. Catch that on all of the screens. We've got a great number of people who are coming already. And we're delighted to have the support from Bromley Council. And in particular, I must give a big thank you to Helena Jenkins, who is the Principal Loneliness Champion for Bromley Council. And they are donating copies of Kick It by the Rebel Girls in association with Nike to young girls aged between 7 and 12 to celebrate female athletes and participation and inspire the next generation of female footballers and athletes. And it's not only the Lionesses game that you can catch. Register for free on the website, and you can also have access to Bromley Women versus Hassocks, which kicks off at 3 o'clock on the stadium pitch. It's a Women's Super Sunday. It's a doubleheader. Come on down and see England bring it home, and then catch the Bromley Women in action later in the afternoon as well. For more information on that, just head to the website bromleyfc.co.uk and make sure to register for your place. We're nearly done, Josh, but some ticket news before we finish.
Yeah, so tickets are still on sale for our trip to Kidderminster on Saturday. Tickets are actually online until 3:15 on the Saturday. I know a couple of people were confused thinking that it was Friday, but apparently it is on the Saturday.
Even if you decide at 14 minutes or 13 minutes past three that you want to go.
It's a good idea. If you're debating whether to make, I mean, you can pay on the gate and stuff, decent.
Doesn't hurt, does it? Doesn't hurt.
And then Friday, it's more Friday night football because we're heading to Rochdale.
We are. That's a 7:45 kickoff. But don't forget, it's a beam back in Broomfield, so do join us in Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen, and you can catch the live stream from Rochdale versus Bromley from the comfort and luxury of Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen. And we're very much looking forward to that one as well. And then, Josh, it's the bank holiday weekend, so back in action on Monday.
Yep, Southend at home.
Just to add to that,
yeah,
fantastic offer in the exec club. And it's not only for the Southend game now, is it?
No, it's not. It's for Maiden Edge United at home as well.
£40 per person in the exec club, which is a phenomenal offer. It's a great experience if you haven't been through it. And £20 for children as well for the Southend United and Maiden Edge United games. If you are interested in that, you can head to the website or email our head of hospitality, Lucy, via lucy@bromleyfc.co.uk for more information.
Even easier, you can email execclub@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Well, there we go.
So, many ways.
No excuses now. No excuses now. Josh, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Thank you to all of you who put up with us again for another week.
Next week, we'll record it a bit earlier, so me and Matt
will. So we're not as delirious.
Stumbling over our words.
But we do really, and I genuinely mean this, thank you to all of you who take the time out, whether it's on social media or whether you come and see myself or Josh on a match day or whether you're just popping by. Your comments and your kind feedback is very much appreciated, and we're so glad that so many of you seem to be enjoying this podcast, and we are really trying our best to bring you the news that we can and to do it in a format that you can enjoy. So thank you so much for all of your kind words. It really does mean the world to us. It makes us really enjoy doing this, bringing it to you. And we're going to be doing it for many, many years to come, hopefully. So,
me and Matt will be 40 plus.
Well, we'll be here with our walking sticks in the media room one day. Never know. But thank you, Josh, for joining me today. And thank you to everyone who's tuned in once again. Thank you to all of our fantastic guests and interviewees on today's podcast. We'll be back next week. If you're going to Kidderminster, we'll see you there. If not, we'll be back with you next week. Thanks again. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.